Consumer Watch with Wendy Nola, Thursdays at 8:40.
Hello, Wendy lady.
Hello, Darren. Good
hello,
to be
Wendy.
With you.
Say hello.
Say hello,
hello,
Wendy.
Oh, hello. I mean, Wendy Nola.
Yay.
So, Wendy, let's jump straight into it. We're more than a year into the pandemic, and things seem to have calmed down, certainly in Durban or in the South Africa. Shops and offices aren't closing down when someone gets infected anymore. We don't see scary men in hazmat suits fogging rooms anymore. And should I even still be sanitizing my groceries?
Well, the thing is that you might not be seeing it, but there's very big fat business that grew up, was thrown up, I suppose, by the news, by the pandemic and the early news from the scientists and from authorities such as America's Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, was that we did have a very significant chance of getting the virus from touching surfaces, right? Because the heavy droplets expelled from our mouths fell and went onto wood and stainless steel and whatever else. And there were all these reports about how long they stayed there, from hours to days. And so obviously we all felt, ooh. And so the sanitizing business grew up, especially for offices, businesses, schools, churches, you name it, with the hazmat suits. It was coined hygiene theater. So it made people feel good because, you know, it was very serious. And the idea of fogging or spraying, it was going to touch every surface and everything was going to be safe. And even now, if there's a COVID case in schools, what do the parents want? They want fogging because it makes them feel safe. Well, the news this month out of the CDC at a White House briefing is actually confirming what scientists have been saying for quite some time, and that is that risk is so low as to be negligible getting it from surfaces, like 1 in 10,000 contacts. So the question now is our government needs to come out and confirm that. Otherwise, this routine, we're not talking about when there's a COVID case. Obviously, if there's been a COVID case in an environment within 24 hours, the past 24 hours, then obviously professional, you know, very deep cleaning needs to happen. But businesses are selling these routine deep cleaning things. So they come regularly and do it. And that has just now been blown out of the water. So, as I say, I spoke to a microbiologist, Lucia Annelich, who we've spoken to many times on the show. She's based in Pretoria, and she's, with her international colleagues, been saying this for some time. You're not going to get it from food packaging or even food. And she said to me this week, it's going to take our government to come out and put out official advisories. Otherwise, people generally are not going to believe it. They're still going to be thinking, you know, that they have to over sanitize and be very nervous of getting it from the surface. But in fact, that's not true. Dr. Goldman, who published an article in The Lancet last year, he says in a YouTube video that's been widely circulated that it would take 100 people coughing on the same piece of paper, whatever, for you to have any chance of getting it from that piece of paper. So that's sort of very graphically tells you how low that risk is. So yes, as you say, we should be calming down. How long that will actually take to happen after a year of hygiene theater remains to be seen. But I think it's very important to tell people, go and do your research it for yourself and have a very informed view of what those dangers are. The new buzzword is ventilation.
Yeah.
Obviously, always wear a mask, wash your hands, but ventilation is the way to go. A bit unfortunate that we're going into winter, especially Joburg, Cape Town people, but ventilation is what we need to focus on.
Consumer Watch with Wendy Nola.
Wendy lady.
Yes, Darren.
So I saw outrage on Twitter yesterday, and I don't take Twitter outrage seriously, but if it's Wendy Nola outrage, then you know it's real, right? So I saw on the socials that Capitec clients were outraged, shocked, appalled. There was hair pulling and gnashing of teeth about the international credit card
small
processing fee. It got real on the streets, hey?
Exaggeration. It actually started. It's something that started last month, Darren.
Yeah.
Some people are slow to notice. I'm not a Capitec
Yeah, we notice when the bill comes through.
Exactly. When you deign to look at your bank statement. So from last month, 1st March, Capitec started. And that, look, Capitec prides itself and it makes a big marketing deal of the fact that it's, it charges lower bank fees or fewer bank fees than its big the big four competitors. So there's this sort of disconnect of the fact that people were discovering that when they took an Uber or a Bolt ride, there was a R3 extra charge from Capitec called an international transaction fee. And I was like, wow, what is this? What is this? Definitely not cool, Capitec, said CC's Travel on Twitter. This is literally every swipe, tap, Uber, Bolt online payment. It's insane.
Even Netflix and iTunes, everything.
Exactly, exactly. So Capitec says, this is a fee, this is a R3 charged for international purchases, both successful and unsuccessful, whether it was initiated cross-border from outside South Africa or locally from within. This includes your Bolt and Uber rides and Netflix payments. So some people tagged me and said, what are the other banks doing? This can't be right. Well, none of them. I spoke to Standard, Nedbank, F&B, and Absa. None of them are charging this any international transaction fee for e-hailing, for Ubers or Bolts. But, for example, so they're all doing something slightly different. Standard Bank does charge it for Netflix, Spotify, and Booking.com, any company that where the purchase is acquired through a foreign bank.
Okay.
So the supplier's bank is not in South Africa, but not Uber and Bolt. Nedbank says, they do charge it for Netflix, Spotify, Booking.com. But Uber and Bolt are acquired locally and therefore do not attract a cross-border fee. So I'm thinking Capitec might still have something to answer for there. Absa says, for Netflix, Uber, we don't charge that fee if you buy something overseas. This is the interesting one. If you buy something where the transactions are done in a foreign currency denomination, whether it's physically or online, you're going to get that fee. So online shopping, perhaps, if this, the company's based overseas. And what is it for? It's cost associated with currency conversion. And that's basically it. It's just an admin thing, but it's annoying a lot of people. F&B, the CEO of F&B Card says, we don't charge international processing fees for global streaming services like Netflix, iTunes, and Amazon Prime, not for Uber or Bolt either. So it's interesting, whatever bank you're with, check it out. I think there might be a bit more pushback from Capitec customers who will discover that.
It does seem why the sudden change? Why? I mean, I know it's a month old, but what changed? Why suddenly a R3 levy? I know it's only R3, but it's R3 that, I wasn't spending.
It's annoying. Well, I think, like your Netflix payment will be once a month, say, but people are noticing it with the Ubers and Bolts because, you'll go, when I travel, there'll just be a whole spate. You'll have maybe like 5 rides in a short space of time, and you can't miss on your statement, R3. And that gets a little annoying. It's in your face, and especially, if it wasn't happening at the bank you were with before, obviously there's going to be some pushback. So another one of those cases where it pays to check your bank account, know what's going on, know what you're being charged for fees, and decide whether you want to accept it or not. If you don't want to, you can make a switch. But maybe the schlep of making a switch over a small fee like that might not be it. But people might not have the appetite for that. But I think it's a really interesting issue and one that I'm going to keep tracking.
Well, thank you for clearing that up for us. And obviously, the more that changes, the more Wendy and Consumer Watch will give us all of those details. Listen, any consumer issue that you might have a question about, there's probably a podcast for that under Consumer Watch. Go to ecr.co.za, click on podcasts. Thank you, Wendy.
KZN's number one way to wake up. Darren, Carrie and Sky, East Coast Radio.